Well, good morning.
Good morning.
To echo what Scott has said, the only thing I can do is make this worse. So worship has been fantastic. I will try to guide us home in a relatively brief period of time. Remember, the word is relatively. I am glad that you're here. We do have so many visitors, so many of those of us who are, we're used to seeing. If you're not aware, we're coming off of VBS week, where we've been meeting and having some kind of service roughly every 2.5 hours. For about the last 2 weeks. That's the way it seems. If you wonder why the hay bales were out there, we're not doing this as a dual-purpose facility. Our theme for VBS was a Redemption Ranch. This morning, this lesson is really a two-pointer, so it shouldn't be too awful long. And it's one of those things that I think I can just say the 2 points and sit down. Because our faith in these things, our belief in these things, are really what matter. I can preach about it, I can talk about it, I can show you verses about it, but how you are in your heart, what you believe about whether there is a God and whether He's coming again, is really the bottom line. I was talking to Wendy and Nicole the other day, and I saw our Alexa light up. Do you know what an Alexa is? Alexa is a little device that listens to everything that you say and gives you ads for it. Like, you're talking about pickled squirrel's feet, and for some reason, the next time you're on the internet, there's an ad for pickled squirrel's feet. That's Alexa doing her evil work. She answers your questions. She sets timers. That's mainly what we use it for. However, she will not clean your house. We've tried. It just doesn't seem to work. And when I saw that light twirling around, it reminded me that Alexa listens. And we were talking just the other day about letting our light shine in our VBS, and about the idea that people should know we're Christians. Well, it got me to thinking about, I wonder how many times I've used the word God in the last 24 hours, and I thought, hey, I know who will know. So I asked Alexa. Alexa said she didn't have the answer for that right now. Now, I don't know what that means. My guess is Alexa is constantly trying to prove to you that she's not listening to you, even though she is. So my guess is she knew the answer, she just wasn't going to tell us. But it got me to thinking about the idea of there are things in our house that would be said or would not be said depending upon whether I'm a Christian, whether I have a God, whether I believe in Judgment Day. Because if I believe there is a God, that will change what I say, what I do. And then understanding that there is a God and understanding I must give an account to Him one day, those two things make up who we are as Christians. They change our lives. So this morning is all about just 2 points. Our God is alive, the idea that there is a God. Alexa is not our standard, although AI will attempt to rule us one day. And there will be a judgment day. The idea that this is not all that we have, right? I've often said that America's slogan should be, "You're not the boss of me." Well, that's kind of who we are. But there is a boss of us, and it is a God before whom we must all appear. So we're going to examine these 2 points. Our God is alive, and there will be a judgment day, and the lesson will be yours. So what is it about having a God that will change what Alexa hears from me? Well, Alexa will not hear cursing or vulgarity in our home. I mean, I'm not a perfect man. Please don't misunderstand me. I have a hammer and a thumb. But know that as a general rule, Alexa will not hear that kind of language from me. Not because I've said God, right? That was the question I asked her. How many times have we said God? I haven't said I'm a Christian. I'm not saying I am a God. But because I have those things, it will change who I am. The sound of pornographic videos will not be recorded by Alexa. Cocktails or beer being offered to my guests will not be recorded by Alexa. Now, I will tell you this. I was making this list and talking to Wendy about it. She answered me when I said the thing about a beer and said, "I have a selection of craft beers for you." Alexa will not hear talk of divorce. She will not hear lies being told. And she will not hear her talking of dividing the church. None of those things will Alexa hear. Why is that? Is it because I'm worried about Alexa? Nope. Is it because I'm trying to impress you with how holy I am? Nope. It's because there is a God, and He is my God, and I have confessed His Son as my Lord. Therefore, it will change what you do and you do not hear in my life. So I may not say constantly there is a God, but by my life and by my actions, I am declaring that there is a God. So what we say declares our faith in God and that we believe there is a reward. If you don't turn anywhere else, turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. This is one of my favorite places in the Bible because it's so succinct. It describes so many things so well. We're all familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We're familiar with that one, but look down at verse 6. It says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, right there is an entire hour of sermon. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The King James of it is rewards those who diligently seek him. Do I believe there is a God? And do I seek him? If I believe there's a God, but I'm on the wrong side of God, if I believe there's a God and I haven't confessed his son as Lord, you can bet something, I'm not seeking him because I don't want to be found. But if I believe there is a God and I believe that if I serve his son faithfully, he will reward me. Did you see that right there? I must believe that he is and he rewards. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe that he rewards? If you believe that he is and he rewards and you serve, then you will be saved. You will seek his face. That's a good little prayer. Lord, help me to seek your face. Do I want to be where God is? Do I want to be where Jesus is? If I know I'm serving his son faithfully, if I know that I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, then yes, I want to see him. So Hebrews 11, 6 says, knowing about God, believing that there is a God will change our life. And there's a way to look at it from the opposite. To not obey God is to not be faithful and that I'm going to be rewarded, or really, to hope that I will not be rewarded. Take a look at 1 John chapter 3, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 3, we'll read verses 4 through 10. So if believing there is a God and being a Christian changes my language and my life, not being a Christian also is displayed by my life. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Now that tells us something, doesn't it? The Word of God is going to tell us exactly what it says. Verse 5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. In him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. But this is, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Do you know what Alexa knows? I keep saying Alexa. The algorithm knows who you are. It knows whether you make a practice of sinning or a practice of righteousness. And it's not that Alexa knows. Your kids know. Your wife knows. Your workers know. Your family knows. Your church knows. You don't have to say, I'm a Christian if you're practicing righteousness. I also don't have to say, I'm not a Christian if I'm practicing sin. My faith in God changes my life, changes my practice. In fact, it can't be the other way. I can't say I have sin and be a Christian. If God's seed abiding in me means that I cast out sin, how can I say I'm a Christian if I'm full of sin? Can't happen. Sin is a form of uncleanliness. In the Old Testament, they understood this. They understood if they touched a dead body or they touched an animal that was deemed unclean. They couldn't be around. They couldn't be in the temple area. They couldn't be in the camp. Sin is that way. God can't bear to be with uncleanliness, with uncleanness, with sin. So I can't say that God is with me and continue in sin and continue in sin and continue in sin. Because just like God left Israel, at some point He'll leave me. Now don't get me wrong. God doesn't leave me, I leave Him. But there comes a point where God will no longer abide with my sinful life. If the seed in me means I don't sin, if I'm in sin, the seed is no longer in me. If I'm a child of God, I do not practice sinning. You might think, man, preachers always talk about sin. There's a good reason for that. Jesus saved us from our sins. The reason we have a hope of heaven is because we're cleansed by the blood of the cross. But how then can I accept that grace from Jesus Christ and then go right back in and indulge in the very thing that He died for? Dangling prepositions was not one of those things, by the way. See if we have any English teachers in the house. So what I need to do is I need to show I'm a child of God by practicing righteousness, not sin. If I have faith in God, that's what I will do. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29 talks about this idea of a Christian who continues in sin, a Christian who's betting on the mercy of God. I will tell you this, there's no way we earn our salvation. Please don't misunderstand anything I'm going to say here today. But there is a way that I show my love for Christ. There is a way that I show that He died on the cross for my sins, and that is to flee from those things. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 29, we'll read just verse 29. It is a great passage. There's more here than we'll have time to read and teach. But I want to read to you verse 29. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which He was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? Here's what that text is saying. Christian, when you became a Christian, what was the power that brought you in? The blood of Jesus Christ. What was the price that was paid for your forgiveness? The blood of Jesus Christ. If you then go and you act against Christ, you then go and you rebel against Christ, you then go and you act like a child of the devil, not a child of God, you're going to have to answer to that very same God for how you treated His Son's blood. How much worse punishment? He's talking about the law of Moses. He said that under the law of Moses, people would die under the witness of two witnesses. Now he's saying, if you think that was bad, you go and trample on the blood of Jesus Christ, and then you go meet the Father who gave His Son on the cross for you. When I understand that, you better believe it'll change what Alexa hears in my house. Because there is a God, and we must all stand before Him. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. This is in the same passage, just backing up and giving a little bit of a context, but the idea of judgment is introduced here. Verse 26, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." You see how it's a similar passage. Here's where it's a little different. "But a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." I don't fear the judgment. I've passed from life and judgment to life. Passed from judgment to life. For the Christian, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Luckily for us, we're not going to be judged in the way that the world is. The world is going to be judged, and we're going to have to stand on our own righteousness. I'm going to have to stand before God, and He's going to count the credits and the debits, and I'm going to fail every one of them. And I'm going to be cast into a devil's hell. But not so for the Christian. Notice that it says, what only remains for the sinner is judgment. What remains for the Christian is simply to have my name found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then for it to be said to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So there is something other than God that should change my life. A judgment day should change my life. This is what old-timey people used to call fire and brimstone preaching. Well, I may not be talking fire and brimstone today, but let me say that is the end that will occur. The second death, for those who are to die the second death, they're caught, they're cast into the lake that burns with sulfur and fire. That is what our future is like if we do not obey God here. We talked about in Philippians chapter 2 that God has exalted Jesus on high so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're going to do that. Now you're thinking, he doesn't know what I'm going to do in service. I don't know what you're going to do in service today, but I know what you're going to do. Now it's going to be in this world or it's going to be at the judgment day, but you will bow involuntarily and confess that yes, Jesus is Lord. The blessing is we are given the opportunity to do it here. To serve in the kingdom that Jesus said was coming before his death, that now that he's been resurrected, has been given to him by his Father, all authority and power, to confess him as Lord and live his servant now. Because judgment day is coming. Hebrews 9, verse 27. The next two verses are handy little memory verses. If you don't have them written down in the back of your Bible, this might be a good place to start. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Says this, but just as it was appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, dealing with the idea of the one death that Jesus died for us. Jesus died one death, we will face one judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. I mentioned earlier that God has given Jesus all authority. It is God who has the power to judge, but he has allowed Jesus to pass the sentence because of his obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Oops, I'm behind. My apologies. I'm way behind. My apologies. I know for note takers that's hard to do. I can't do it. I have to listen and either turn pages or take notes. I can't do them both. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. My apologies. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Is that clear enough for everybody here? I mean, was that confusing language? Is that metaphorical, prophetic? We don't know what it means language. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil. We are going to face the Lord. We are going to confess Jesus as Lord. We're going to bow the knee. We're going to face judgment and his authority. And I promise you, the authority behind the throne of Jesus is God the Father. And he's going to demand from us an answer of how we have treated his Son. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 is within the context of judging our fellow brother and to not do it. That's the point of that passage. I'm not in charge of your Christianity. I'm not in charge of your salvation. I'm not in charge of those things. You are. And God is. Because regardless of what I think of your life, it's not me before whom you will stand. Regardless of what you think of my life, it's not before you that I will stand. But there is a judge before whom we must all stand, and that is God. Romans 14, verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Let me say here real quickly. What Paul is doing is he is saying we are all right here. Poor man that comes in shabby clothes, rich man that comes in, nope. All right here. Compared to God, the rich man's riches are nothing. Compared to the humiliation of the poor man, the glory he will receive in heaven is nothing. We're all right here. God is the judge. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Back in olden times, stores would have accounts. You, Montgomery Ward over here, I don't know, this is a good test of how old people are. Do you know where Montgomery Ward used to be in Clarksville? There used to be a Montgomery Ward's. It's now the government building, right? But at Montgomery Ward's, they used to have an account. If you wanted to buy a pair of Converse All-Stars for your kid, or maybe had to have two kids, you could go and you could pay a dollar here, a dollar there, and have an account at Montgomery Ward's. And when you got $7, I don't remember how much they were back in the day, they seemed like a lot of money, When you got $7 paid in that account and you had the taxes and everything, you could get your Converse All-Stars just like the Doc wore and dunk from the free throw line. I'm pretty sure that's how that works. Just me. Thanks, Tom. It's how you find your generations of people. But that account, we all have to give an account for that, right? I don't get the shoes until I've settled the account. I'm going to have to give an account. I've either met the account or I've not met the account. Let me tell you something about God. You got an account. In Genesis chapter 9, God tells Noah that if man takes man's life, he will have to give an account. I'm going to have to explain myself before God. You don't want to do that. The beauty of Christianity is you can't do that. Christ could do that, and he did do that. The price of every account before God was paid by the blood of Jesus. When I stand before God, the question is not how many sins do you have versus how many good things do you have, and not that that would matter anyway, because really the standard is a holy and sinless God, and sin number one is it. As soon as they go, lake that burns with sulfur and brimstone. This is exactly what happens. You don't want to stand and be judged. You want to be stand and called forgiven. Because we're all guilty. When we stand before the Lord, we're all going to be guilty. But those who are in Christ, who have confessed the Son of God as their Lord, who have served Him faithfully and shown their faith by their works, we will be forgiven. So with that in mind, what should that do to our lives? What should Alexa hear? You know, we've been talking about Alexa, but you understand that we used to sing a song within Churches of Christ that said, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. I don't know if that's even in our songbook anymore. But Alexa is not who you need to be concerned with. Your family is not who you need to be concerned with, although please love your family. There is a God. I will stand before Him one day. There is a God who gave His Son to die on the cross for me. And then God glorified Him by raising Him from the dead. And He wants me to glorify Him by serving Him and praising His name and singing songs so wonderfully and beautifully like we have today. That there is a God. He has a Son. Jesus is my Savior. Thank you. Praise your name, Lord. And it's not Alexa who will make the decision. It is God. So what should that do to my life? Christianity and faith in God and knowing that there's a judgment day should change my life. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Our Bibles are really the mind of God, the mind of Christ. God's Holy Spirit wrote these words. God's Holy Spirit carried these men along as they wrote. They are truth, they are right, they are wrong. If I take this word and I put it into my heart and I let it rule me, I have that implanted word within me, it will cause me to flee wickedness and unrighteousness and seek holiness and God's face. That will change your life, your family's life, the church's life, and it will change your destination and your eternal home. Do you want to be with God? Do you believe that He is? Do you believe that He rewards those who diligently seek Him? If you do and you are diligently seeking Him, you can't wait. Because Christ's blood has cleansed you from all unrighteousness and you're walking in the light and fleeing any darkness. That's our lesson. Short and sweet. If you leave here today, I want you to ask yourself the question, do you really believe there is a God? there is a God. Do you really, really believe that there is a God and you will meet Him one day? If you believe there is and that you will, and you've not made preparation for that, you've not confessed Jesus as Lord, do so now before you're forced to do so before the presence of His Father as we stand and we sing.